Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and our very special guest, John Lynch, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issues. So we invite your calls now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. As you mentioned, we are so excited to have with us today John Lynch. John will be one of the featured speakers at our conference next week, Stand 2014. John is the author of a book, On My Worst Day. He co-authored the book, The Cure. He works with True Face Ministry. He is just one of the gems in ministry. He is real. He is transparent. He's funny. He's exciting. He's mesmerizing. And we're just excited that he's going to be with us next week. And, John, welcome to Basic Gospel. Thanks for taking some time with us today.
I'm speaking at the conference? Oh, boy. Okay, that changes everything. I thought I was just coming. All right. Listen, I can do it. Yeah. No, I am so...
Well, see, I needed to put you on the spot to get a commitment out
pressure,
of you.
Pressure.
You know? So that was the whole gist of this program. So you took the bait, great. And now you're in.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'll come up with something, I'm sure. There's many... Spurgeon's got great messages on the Internet. I'll come up with something. Guys, I am so excited to come. Stacy and I are both flying in. It's in the middle of our vacation with our kids, and we are getting on a plane out of Reno and flying down to Dallas, and it's one of the very, very highlights of our trip. So you just don't know. We're like little kids getting to come.
Yeah, well, we're so thrilled, and I'm just going to have more fun just hanging out with you guys. And, you know, I know folks, when they come, that's one of the big parts of it. I was at a church recently, and, you know, the speaker came out on stage, and then he left and went behind, you know, a curtain, and you never got to see him again. There was no accessibility. And
the pastor has
left
the building.
That's right, and that's not what this conference is all about. We're just getting together as believers in Christ. We're going to be sharing some truth about the love of Christ and the grace of Christ and the life of Christ, and we're just going to have wonderful fellowship together, and that's what I'm really looking forward to, and I think that's the highlight for you as well, John, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm going to come around and knock on people's doors and just say, hey, please let us in. You know? But the thought that we're going to have some panel discussions, the thought that we're going to be taking meals together, and after the messages, we're just hanging out till people leave, is, to me, a very rare opportunity to have Bob Christopher milling about and to have Andrew just milling about, and Stacy and I and our wives just being there to share, to ask questions, to have other people tell their journeys, for you to be able to ask, for others to be able to say, what's this been like? What's it been like married to this guy? That's a privilege for us, and we don't get to do it at every conference. Sometimes that's the format, is just go behind the curtain. You did your 40 minutes. Thank you. And this is entirely different. So it is an incredibly uncommon and magnificent way for us to process these truths of the original good news.
Yes, indeed. Well, John, as far as the messages that you're going to bring, you're going to talk about how to take a stand in the grace of God, how to take a stand in the life of God. Just give us a brief snippet, a highlight of what those particular messages might do for somebody, how it will help them connect a little deeper to Jesus and compel them in their walk with the Lord.
Well, I love the title of taking a stand, because in this day and age, it is a stand to hold on to that freedom for which you were set free. It takes a stand because everything, almost everything, around us wants to argue against that. One of my messages is I want you to know me. I want you to know my grappling with that reality. I want you to know what that has looked like to find an environment where that could possibly be lived out. And then I want to show, what does that look like when someone is able to say, what if you really knew the worst about me? Would you draw closer? So there's a lot of strength and freedom and ability for, in that first message, for just great discussion, for afterwards to say, are you kidding me? You're saying this is the way you get to live life. And then to just be able to have breakouts to be able to share that with each other. So that's my first message. And I'll go through a lot of scriptures in that. The second message, I think it is probably more directed at taking that moralistic or shame filter off of the scriptures so that we no longer fear the boogeyman. A lot of us have a fear that we have one foot in, one foot out of daring to believe who Christ says I am, daring to believe my identity, but afraid of those verses where it seems like he's had too much coffee and he's angry at me. So I really, John 15 about the vine, that vine, that passage has frightened so many, where it looks like my shame wants to say, oh my gosh, he's going to throw me away and burn me up. I want to look at that and spend time there at the language so that we won't be frightened anymore and so that we can extrapolate other passages and not be afraid and be able to say, oh my gosh, this God really does love me with this unbelievable abandon. That creates a life. That creates a way of life, a playfulness, a freedom, a reverence, a joy, a power. And so that's what we want to look at.
Well, John, thank you for spending some time with us today. I know you're right in the middle of a busy schedule. You celebrated an anniversary yesterday, and congratulations to you and Stacy on that. And
thanks
for popping on with us. And folks, if you're out there listening to this, hopefully you can see why it's important to get to Stand 2014 next week. You will be blessed. And John Lynch is one of the reasons. So, John, thank you for being with us, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
I can't wait. Can't wait, you guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
You are more than welcome, and we'll do it again in the future. But let's get through Stand 2014 next week, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. See you then.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
Hey, our conference website has all the information. That, of course, is stand2014.com. And it is going to be Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Coming up, actually, I was looking at the website right now, 9 days, 2 hours, 51 minutes. How about that?
That's right. We've got a countdown clock.
That's right. Yes, indeed. That's at stand2014.com. All the information and an opportunity to register online. Us right there at the website, stand2014.com. Right now, time to go to the phones, and we have plenty of open lines, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and you've just heard, of course, from John Lynch, who's going to be one of the primary speakers at our conference. Again, the telephone number, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Miles, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Bob. How's everybody?
We are doing well. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Terrific. I wish I could come down there to Stand 2014, but I just won't be able to make it. But someday I'd love to bring you guys up to Calgary. Bob, I was struck by a concept you presented a few days ago, and that is the holiness of truth. Not only the holiness of God, but the holiness of truth. Truth being separate from my own and the world's deception, errors, and omissions. And it struck me that I received great relief from that concept. The concept of Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and thinking that the truth simply is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the great I am, the singularity of creation. And it strikes me that sometimes we get too wrapped up in things like trying to define how old the Earth is, whether it's young or old. At the end of the day, it's just simply Jesus.
Well, Miles, I think you're exactly right on that, because he is truth. He's the ultimate reality. And when you come to the end of your life, you're not going to be wondering about the age of the Earth. You're not going to be wondering about those things. You're going to be wondering about the God who made the Earth. And will you be in His presence or not? That's what you're going to be wondering about. And if you know Jesus, and if you know this gospel message, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and the achievement that that accomplished on your behalf, you can face that moment with just incredible peace, with a sense of confidence, knowing that just as God raised Jesus from the dead, that when you take your final breath, you're going to be in His presence and in His presence forever, because right now He's already in your presence, living in you through His Holy Spirit.
Thank you very much, guys. God bless.
Well, thank you, Miles. Thank you for your encouraging words today. We certainly appreciate it. And, work on a plan to get us up to Calgary. We would love to go there. I love that city. It's a beautiful city. Gina and I spent our honeymoon in Banff, and we spent some time in Calgary. And so I'm very fond of that place.
Okay, I'll get to work on that idea.
Okay, thanks, Miles.
Thanks, Miles. Good to hear from you, brother. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. We'd love to entertain your particular question, your particular Bible passage. Again, that toll-free number, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Well, speaking of Canada, a question from our friend Julia, who lives in Victoria, British Columbia, and she says, "Hello, brothers in Christ, thank you. That basic gospel continues teaching the main thing is to keep teaching the main thing and to focus on the gospel that saves, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." Well, Julia's question, she says, "I would appreciate hearing what you have to say regarding the validity of online prayer chains."
Well, I don't know if we can speak to the validity. Online prayer chains, you have to ask the question, what's the purpose? Sometimes, when you look at prayer change just in general, the purpose isn't really to entrust a situation to the Lord. Sometimes the purpose is to spread gossip, and we do it through prayer, and that basically sanitizes the gossip element of it. But you have to look at, what's the purpose? Why are people joining together in something like that? We think of prayer in terms of our connecting with God and moving Him to do something on our behalf. That's not how this gospel works. That's not how this Christian life works. God is always in the role of initiator. He is never in the role of responder. We're always in the role of responding. So if we can get people together in a prayer setting and respond to what He's initiating to us, then there's great validity to it. Why? Because we are approaching it in the proper way. We are maintaining the right posture, so to speak. We are understanding that we're simply responding to what God has already initiated in our hearts. And I think that is such an important truth to come to. We in our pride think that we can say things and say them in the right way, that we can obligate God to do something on our behalf. That's setting yourself up for incredible disappointment. I remember one of the first people that I ever counseled with years and years ago. He came from a family. He was a dynamic singer and an entertainer and had a bright future in front of him, but he had a sister that had I think it was cerebral palsy, and his family were believers, and they prayed so much for her healing, and they went to churches who said that if you just pray hard enough and do so in sincere and earnest faith, then she will be healed. And so they bought into that, and they gathered a group of people around them in great numbers to pray for that healing. And it never came. She was never healed physically. And there was unbelievable disappointment in this young man's heart. And that disappointment led to bitterness and anger toward God. And it sent him into a depression. And why? Because he bought into a faulty premise. He believed that his prayers and the prayers of all the people that he gathered to pray on behalf of his sister would obligate God to do something. So what he was basically saying is that we are going to initiate to God and God is going to respond. It never works that way. God is always in the role of initiator. And if we will let that be a premise that we put our feet upon, then prayer will actually start to make sense.
Yeah. Well, a good question from Julia, and I appreciate the fact that we hear from our listeners across the country and literally around the world with email questions. And if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, why, we encourage your email to us at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net, and we'd be glad to hear from you and pose your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel.
It's kind of interesting when you talk about prayer, and our topic this month is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we see in the Word of God that we're to pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? I think it has some real merit to discuss it in light of this question.
Well, it doesn't mean having incense going in your room and trying to reach some sort of emotional or nirvana kind of state. And that's so often what it's presented as. Praying in the Spirit is, first of all, listening to what the Spirit is saying to you, and what he's revealing through the Word of God, what he prompts you in various situations. And then to pray in the Spirit just means to continue the conversation with him. It's just as simple as that. It's not mystical. It's very practical. I mean, when the Spirit prompts you based on a scripture or a particular situation you're in, it's usually what you're going to be recognizing is that you're now in the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit, said, all it means is, okay, Lord, I'm hearing you. Reveal more. Help me to focus on you the way I'm supposed to focus so that this situation doesn't overwhelm me or that I don't think I can do it myself. It's just a very practical, step-by-step, walking down the road conversation and relationship with God.
It's really
himself.
Simple, isn't yeah. it? And it's basic. That's why mm-hmm. we call the program Basic Gospel, because when you really look at what the gospel message is and how it impacts us on a daily life, it really becomes a simple way to live. We as human beings like to complicate everything. We like to add layer upon layer upon layer to what God has given mm-hmm. to us. But God always cuts right through all of those layers, cuts through the clutter, cuts through the confusion, and brings us down to the simplicity of the gospel. And
he
that's
initiates,
the, we respond. Absolutely. Well, let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk with Lisa, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lisa.
God bless you, brothers. I'm a little bit not sure. I have a little conflict going on in my mind. The verses that I was hoping you would expound on are Colossians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 11, where Paul is talking about how when we are in Christ or in the baptism of Christ, our hearts are circumcised. Yet in Romans chapter 7, Paul is also saying that, that you know, it's no longer I who sin, but sin who lives, that lives in me. So Colossians, the way I understand it, means that we are delivered from the sin nature, but then in Romans, the sin nature appears to still be there. So can you explain that?
Well, certainly, Lisa, and it's I think a very good question, and I think the answer will help us in our everyday living to set some realistic expectations about what this Christian life is to look like and to feel like as we live and walk every single day. So in Colossians chapter 2, it says this: in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the flesh, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So before knowing Christ, Lisa, our hearts were bound up by sin and death. As it talks about in the Old Testament, our hearts were deceitful and they were incurable. They were beyond cure. We see in Genesis where before the flood, Moses describes the people of that day as having hearts that were constantly on wickedness. And they had no inclination toward God whatsoever. So God had to jump in and do something on our behalf to be able to turn our hearts toward him. And that's what this circumcision is all about. There's a wonderful verse, Lisa, and I'll just direct you to it. It's back in the book of Deuteronomy. So way back there, early on in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, and it says this: the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. So why did God circumcise our hearts? So that we would be able to love him with everything within us. And that was fulfilled, that verse in Deuteronomy was fulfilled the moment you were saved. God did something inside of you to give you a brand new heart. Now, Lisa, this heart, this brand new heart, this born again, regenerated spirit is still housed within a body of flesh. So, Lisa, within your members, your bodily members, flesh resides, and within that flesh lives sin. So there's still fleshly desires that are tugging at your heart, but those fleshly desires aren't you. That's just the house you're living in, so to speak. The real you is this new person that God has created through new birth. This new person has a new heart that is inclined toward God, that is receptive to the truth of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. So that's the distinction between the two. Paul was recognizing that in his flesh, sin was still there. And sin was not asleep. Sin was still active. Sin was still trying to draw him away from his relationship with the Lord. And if we will recognize that battle and recognize that Christ is putting his desires in us, if we learn to walk in the Spirit, what we will find happening is that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's when we will experience real victory. So, Lisa, you have a brand new heart. You have Christ living in you. Trust him. Walk in the Spirit. And the byproduct of that is victory in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, who's going to give us this victory in Romans 7:25? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, Lisa, thanks for calling today. We certainly appreciate your good question.
Yes, indeed. We also have a very special offer for you. It's Bob Christopher's CD called About Spiritual Gifts. You know, we've been talking this month about spiritual gifts, the confusion that's around that particular issue as it has since the early days back at the Corinthian church in biblical days. And Bob has addressed that controversial subject and that CD called About Spiritual Gifts. And if you'd like to get a copy, we have one for you for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Of course, the bottom line always is support of the ministry to continue this good news of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ at Basic Gospel. Well, the CD, as I said, is yours for a gift of any amount. To make your gift and request your copy today, phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 800-727-2828, or go online to basicgospel.net. Also, go online to stand2014.com to get information and registration for a conference coming up in just 9 days. In the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.